Us to hear from that group again. Rejoice in the Lord for these very wonderful voices that we hear proclaiming the very glory of God. Let us turn this morning to the first chapter of Galatians. And let us begin with verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard of my conversation or my manner of life in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Verse 16, we would continue these messages on the high calling. There are actually two calls that we see in this verse. We've already had the one in our previous message, to reveal his Son in me. And God has called every one of us to exactly the same thing, to reveal his Son in me. But Paul adds another call here in this verse as we read that he called me by his grace, reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. This is the call to ministry. It is the high calling we discovered in our first message. That's indicated that this is from on high. It is from God. And of course, it is God who had called Jesus, or rather Paul, into this ministry. That is, Christ himself called. I want to see three major parts of this call to ministry. The first one we find here in verses 17 and 18, and it is preparation. It is very important for us to understand. You notice that in verse 17, Paul says, he knew he had the call, but he said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to meet them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. It is a scriptural fact, once again, that Paul was struck down there on the road to Damascus. As he lay there in the dust, one of the questions that he asked Jesus is, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And again, "What wilt thou have me to do?" is an indication of ministry. Ananias came to him later by God's direction, and God had told Ananias, he is, speaking of Saul of Tarsus, he is a chosen vessel. That means he's called by God. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, which is exactly what Paul has told us here in this first chapter of Galatians. But Paul did not. And for a little bit, I want to concentrate on the fact that at this time, he is still Saul of Tarsus. And so Saul did not immediately go out into the ministry. It is, as we read here, after 3 years. But during that time, this is a time of preparation for Saul of Tarsus. Preparation is standard in God's school, in God's calling. There are many who overlook that. Many times they refuse that and they go on without it, and they are not near the effective minister that they could have been had they simply waited on the Lord, had they simply been prepared according to his plan. Moses, we know he was called to bring Israel out of Egypt. But Moses spent 40 years in the backside of the desert, in the wilderness. 40 years in isolation, so to speak, before he finally went back to Egypt in order to lead that people out of Egypt and into or up to the promised land. David is another. Called to the throne of David, all right. But it was David who spent years in exile before coming to the throne. And there are a great many lessons that David learned during that time. I think of Joshua, the man who led Israel literally, actually into the promised land. But he spent at least 40 years under the tutelage of Moses, learning all of these things. And of course, when he got to that place, he felt still very insecure and unable, but God led him there. I also think of Elisha. This man took the place of Elijah at God's direction, but he also must have learned countless lessons from his predecessor, from Elijah, calling him, "My father, my father." And so we find that there is a separation. There is indeed a time of preparation. And as I want to emphasize here, the way that God leads is often by separation, or as we're going to find, by isolation. Let us back up just a little bit here to verse 11. Because there was a reason that God took Paul, Saul of Tarsus, back to Arabia. We read that Paul went there. You might notice here in verse 17, I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus, then after 3 years. I don't think that was 3 years after he got back to Damascus. The 3 years undoubtedly is the time he spent in Arabia in preparation for what God wanted him to do. And so I want to notice a little bit here about some of the things that Paul must have learned, a couple of priorities that he had to have had at that time because they are so uppermost in his mind at this point. In verse 11 we read, "I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me was not after man." Verse 12, "I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so Paul did not learn from his predecessors, so to speak, at all. It is important to learn here that God had some special lessons to teach Saul of Tarsus. And one of those lessons was about the law. This is what was uppermost in Paul's mind as we read from verse 14. He says, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals of mine own nation. Paul was steeped in, Saul of Tarsus rather, was steeped in the law. He had sat, as I understand, at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the greatest teacher of the law at that time. But God had to teach Saul of Tarsus exactly why. He had to tell him the very purpose that the law was given. And so I'm persuaded that he took him back to Arabia, back to the very place where the law was given in the first place, back to that very place where that he could understand and put everything in context. Saul means asked for. And that pretty well sums up the name of Saul of Tarsus, because he was sought after. He was asked for. Everyone wanted to have him. But some changes were going to take place during this time of isolation, this time of preparation that God had to take him through in order for him to answer this call and to fulfill the call to preach to the Gentiles. One of those changes was that he changed his name to Paul. And we find out the little word Paul means little. And that's exactly what God did. He reduced Saul of Tarsus to absolutely nothing. But I was especially concerned and interested. I am quite sure that Saul of Tarsus learned many lessons out there in the wilderness when he went back to Arabia. But one of the greatest things that he learned, we'll not turn there, you can make a reference of it in Romans 3, beginning with verse 21. Paul says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. This is something he had to learn, because every Jew thought that righteousness came because that you keep that just as good as you can. People have adopted exactly the same thing down to our day, and it simply is not true. Paul had to go back to the wilderness, had to be isolated where there was no one else, no other influence, taken away from all of those that he had known and that would have been willing to instruct him in their way. But God took him away from all that. It was simply a part of his preparation in order to accomplish what God wanted to do. And so as we read here, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. He continues, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then Paul learned this gem, I am sure, again, out there in the wilderness, taken from Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. People don't realize that the law is actually against men. The only thing, and when we read this in Paul's gospel again, God gave the law in order to show up sin. And believe me, it does its job well. It still does that day. But the law had no power to change men. This is what Paul learned. The law had no power to bring forth righteousness out of men. Paul learned that. And so what about the law? Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way. He's talking about the law. He took the law out of the way. What did he do with it? Nailing it to his cross. You see, the law is just as much a part of what God took away as our sins are. He took away our sins as far as the east is from the west to be remembered against us no more. Same thing true of the law. And just for information, God never did give the law to the Gentiles. He gave it only to the Jew. And of course, the Jew, because of that, they really considered themselves superior. And that way they were, because God gave to them all the oracles of God and not just the law. And so the apostle learned out here. That undoubtedly was a great blow to him, because he gloried in the law. We read here in our text in Galatians that he was just exceedingly zealous above many my equals. This is what set him apart. This is what gave him his identity. And now to find that was all gone because the law had been nailed to his cross. The dominion of the law ended at Calvary. But Saul of Tarsus and the Jews certainly did continue to claim to it. And then, as we also find, Paul learned this wonderful lesson concerning the law and Christ. Galatians 2:21 says it this way: if righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness came by the law, there was absolutely no reason for Jesus to come into this world and to give his life a ransom for all. That is blasphemy. That is an insult against Jesus and his matchless grace. And this undoubtedly is what the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, learned even out there in the wilderness when he went back where the law was actually given. He learned these things about the law. And indeed, that things are going to have to change. Then we come to the process of the calling. As we continue on, if you'll back up once again here to verse 11. I certify you, brethren, the gospel preached to me is not after man. Verse 12. I didn't receive it of man. I taught it was, neither was I taught, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the second thing that Paul learned many lessons. We don't want to limit them to only two. I'm just simply bringing this out for the sake of illustration. I'm quite confident in that 3-year period, Saul of Tarsus learned a great many lessons. And they are reflected in his gospel. Did he learn everything out there in the wilderness? I think not. It is you and I who have to follow exactly the same pattern, because I am persuaded that we are learning of Christ every day of our lives until we be taken home to glory. So no, he didn't learn it all out there, but this just simply laid the foundation for what God was doing. And there are so many wonderful truths that Paul brings out in his gospel in the different letters that he wrote in order to pass that message on to other people. Insofar as this revelation is concerned, you will notice it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. We have begun the study of Hebrews on Wednesday evening, and right there in the first chapter, Paul tells us that God in the past spoke in time past by the prophets in various times and ways, things of this nature. But then he adds this: but in these last days he's spoken unto us by his Son. And the rest of that chapter and book enlarge on his Son, on Christ. This is why he says here that his message came by revelation of Jesus Christ. His message is a revelation of Jesus. He was indeed, this is a part of his call in order to learn of Christ. He had to learn the message. I can relate to that in my own ministry. I was miraculously filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. People found out, I found out very quickly, that he had given me a gift of preaching the gospel, and I endeavored to do that. But then I learned a great lesson. My younger brother, for whom I am so thankful, ministered unto me. This is why you and I must understand. We all have a ministry. Every member of the body of Christ is necessary. Every member contributes. That means that every member has a ministry. And you may not even know it, even as he didn't know it at that time. But he was certainly contributing to what God was doing in my life. And I went to him. Oh, I was seeking a compliment on sermon I preached. I didn't get it. He said, all you do is get up there and talk around in circles. There was a reason for that. I went to my father. Here's another member of the body contributing to the need of the body, complaining about what my brother had said. I thought he would, hoped he would say something to him. No, he said something to me. Looked me straight in the eye and he said, you sure do repeat yourself a lot. It was at that minute I knew that if I was going to preach the gospel, I had to know the gospel. The message must be prepared in us. If we're ever going to give out the message, we must be prepared to receive the message for ourselves first. And so I began to take steps in order to really learn the depths of God's word. And that has continued down to this very day. Because again, I am certain we will be learning of this wonderful Christ until the day we are taken out to glory. We must be open to the lessons that God would teach us in preparing us to give out any message that he wants to give. That goes for every member of the body. As we see here in this text and in this situation, Saul of Tarsus was isolated in order that he might learn the message that God would reveal to him. Sometimes people wonder why they are isolated. Sometimes it is in sickness, various circumstances beyond their control. Sometimes it may be in other ways. Sometimes we're sure we have all felt the same thing. No one understands what I am going through. No one can identify with me. Let us understand and learn from that. This is the time he is trying to separate us only unto himself. The Lord literally took Saul of Tarsus back to that land in Arabia, where that there was no one else around except God. And there was the interaction. And the secret for us is that there is that place, that time, when God most surely separates us simply unto himself, where that we are there simply at the feet of Jesus. And he has much to say if we will only listen to him. We may have been privileged, I was privileged, to sit under some tremendous teachers who knew this grace message, who knew the gospel. Privileged to sit there. And yet I found out, as so many have found out through the years, the only one that can give us a personal revelation of Jesus is God himself. He has to reveal this truth. And this is what we learn. And of course, that's exactly what Saul of Tarsus also learned. Just in passing, it was wondering some of the lessons that Saul of Tarsus may have learned of Jesus when he was out there in that desert area around Arabia. I'm sure he learned what John revealed. I am the way, speaking of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, no man cometh to the Father but by me. These are just some of the things that Saul of Tarsus learned as he was out on the desert, alone with the Lord, away from everyone else. And then number three, we come to the purpose of a calling. Let's turn to the third chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, Paul's calling included him being a prisoner of Rome. We are quite sure that he would have certainly wanted to be out and about. He went on a number of missionary trips, and that's where that he really found his focus. That's when he was in his element, so to speak. And you know, sometimes we might get a little comfortable in our own element, only to realize that God may want to change things. And he often does. But here we find that he refers to himself as the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't give that credit to Rome. He knew he was a prisoner of Christ himself. He fulfilled his purpose, God's purpose. We'll see that here also in just a moment. The overall purpose of preaching to the Gentiles. He fulfilled that purpose greater in prison than he did out. The reason is because when he was shut up in prison, he wrote all of these marvelous letters that we have today. And so we, even though we never met him, never talked to him, never interacted with him, we are the recipients of the same message that Paul gave to those so long ago. And God facilitated that by sending him to prison in order that he might write all of these letters that we are privileged, and many have been so privileged down through the ages, to look into and to study, and again for God to reveal to us, even as he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. I want to notice that there did come the time when Paul actually entered the ministry. It was after that the situation that we saw there in Galatians. And then you'll read this again also there in the book of Acts. They were praying, they were gathered together. And that's when the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the ministry which I've called them to." And so Paul entered that ministry. He is again called Paul later on there in the book of Acts. But I want to notice here in our text, continuing, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." He has already entered that time. Then he says in verse 2, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward." Then he says in verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." I'm confident this revelation, as we've already seen, confident that took place while he was there in the wilderness, while he was there in Arabia. God was showing him exactly what he was going to do. And so as we read here that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. And you see, it was a mystery because no one had ever heard of it before. He is a chosen vessel, God said to Ananias. And it was a chosen vessel in order that he might put this new mystery, this new revelation into the heart of Saul of Tarsus in order that he might give it to others. He says here in verse 3, the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. We'll not turn there, but this is what he's talking about in Ephesians 1:10. The mystery was that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This is the great secret that God was bringing forth and that Paul is now revealing. There are two great purposes, really, part of Paul's call. God was introducing a new dispensation and a new message. And both of them were centered completely around the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were absolutely foreign to the law. And this is what God had to reveal to Saul of Tarsus. And indeed, Saul was finally convinced of that and indeed ready to bring it forth unto other people. You will notice here as we continue in verse 5 of this same chapter, in other ages it was not known. That is, this message that Paul is talking about here, in other ages, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. He is talking about an entire dispensation. And that's what the word that we have read here. He has committed unto me a dispensation of the gospel. As we study the scripture now, we find there are actually 7 of those dispensations. But at the time, the apostles didn't know anything about this 6th dispensation. The church age was entirely hidden to them. That the Gentiles should be fellow heir with the Jew, that was a foreign message to all of them. But God introduced that through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. I have thought for quite some time about the things that John the Baptist went through. There is no record that God came down and spoke to him and told him to baptize in water. But the ministry of John the Baptist centered around being baptized in water. You will not read of anything of water baptism in the Old Testament. That is a New Testament doctrine, and again symbolic of the fact that God was bringing on changes which were going to center around Christ himself. I fear there are many of our day who really do not even understand the teaching and truth of water baptism. But water baptism teaches exactly the same truth as circumcision. God didn't change any kind of truth. He just changed the way of illustrating it. Circumcision simply indicates cutting off that old life, cutting off the flesh, in order that the new might emerge. Water baptism does exactly the same thing in different terminology. Paul describes it as the old man going down into death with Christ. Then he came up and out of the water. It is symbolic of resurrection, resurrected, newness of life with Christ, taking away the old, cutting off the old, and coming forth as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so Paul wanted men to understand the same thing concerning his gospel. He could identify with John because this had never been heard of before. And so as we read here in verse 4 of our text, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He is fulfilling the purpose for which God called him, and that is to impart this message unto the Gentiles. But I want to notice another little gem here. Paul says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge. He's not trying to promote himself. He's not acting conceited. He's not telling them something that you need to listen to me and all of that because I am so important. What he is saying is that I have made this knowledge my own, and you need to understand it for yourself. You don't need to say it and repeat it because you heard it. You need to know it yourself. And so you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And again, it is a mystery that was largely unfolded when he was out on the backside of the desert, so to speak. All of these wonderful things that God was able to reveal to him. He wanted these people to understand the depths of God's word that had been revealed. That should be the desire of every minister of the gospel today, that men understand the word of God, the depths of truth that God has revealed. As we read again in verse 5, following these verses here in Ephesians on down, in other ages it was not made known. It was a complete secret. As spiritual as they were, even though there were numbers that wrote of these things, Paul quotes from the Old Testament quite often, telling us that this was hidden all the time in the Old Testament. It just hadn't been revealed yet. And so he's talking here about in other ages, all this was hidden. It was not made known in the sons of men as it is now revealed by his holy apostles and prophets. Verse 6, it is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And so again, we come to the purpose of Paul's calling to reveal this new dispensation that God had given, that had imparted unto him, and indeed, the new message that God had given. This new message in Christ really is inexhaustible. To repeat, I'm confident we'll be learning depths of that until we are taken out of this world into glory, and we need to have our hearts open into it. And so in verse 7, Paul says, whereof? He means concerning this mystery that I've just spoken of here in verse 6. Whereof I was made a minister according to gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. All of these are things that he had learned, that it was all of the power of God. It was indeed not himself. And so as we come to the close of this message, we hearken back to Galatians 1, where God called Paul first to reveal his son in him. Again, we've noticed that order. He must reveal his son in me before he can preach his message through me. And so to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. And so we can conclude, what is the purpose of our own calling? I'll give you two words: preach Christ.